Hare Krishna. So, let's go for some questions here. Series of Rama Bhakta Nicholas says, how is it possible that there are 16,180 melodies? Is it written down? Can devotees help me put the book together on that? No, thank you. There are... I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions the different ragas and melodies, which are actually in personified form. The gopis sang all of these during the rasa dance. And there are also, I'm not a musician, but there are also sub-melodies of these. What is important to us of these is what we received from Srila Prabhupada, and the remnants of that singing tradition given by Narottam Das Thakur, Shamananda Pandit, these type of kirtans. More important though than having all these melodies, and certainly I'm not going to be the one to write them down, although they may be somewhere. Is the quality of the chanting, and that's what Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur emphasize. Don't get lost in the quantity or the melody or the beauty or the harmony or the music, but get absorbed in the sound vibration, because that's where the real beauty is. And then his next question is, why is it that the length of ages diminish in time? Because that's how Krishna organized it. And because the whole idea is that in the material world, as Bhagavad Gita describes, the modes of material nature compete, and sometimes passion and passion, goodness become overwhelmed by ignorance. So when ignorance becomes dominant, that's when things deteriorate. Goodness is Satya Yuga. From then, passion starts to influence, and we get to Parva and Treta, and then ignorance becomes dominant in Kali Yuga. And as the modes become lower, therefore the tendency for deterioration, and deterioration means that things can't be maintained, or in other words, time-wise, they get shorter. Now, a Bhakta Raslan says, how can one develop a mood of dependence on Krishna in every situation? I had a similar podcast not long back, so I suggest to listen to that. But it's a matter of developing your faith in the Lord, having good association with devotees who are dependent, chanting quality kirtan and japa, and regularly hearing about, number one, the temporary nature of the material world, that you don't have any other alternative here other than to depend on either your own resources or you depend on Krishna. And then understanding that when you do depend on your own resources, you're not going to be able to change your fate in any way. The only person who can really give you protection is Krishna, and the only one who can protect you from your karma and the influences of material energy is the Lord, Aham Tvam Sarva Papi Bhyo. And Nilam Yadhav says, how should I concentrate on my japa? Please guide me. A lot has been said on chanting Hare Krishna, and I would suggest looking at that. But the main thing is learning how to hear. And you do that by practice. It doesn't come easy at first, but devotees need to know how to be able to just meditate on the sound vibration of Krishna's holy name. Until you can do that, don't bother trying to do anything else. That's the main thing, and you need to practice to do that. My mind's disturbed, it's going here and there, there's so many other distractions. That's part of the process, that's part of yoga. Yoga, indriya, samyamya. Yoga means to control the senses. So just keep on practicing with determination, and then once again, good quality association, examples to follow. Bhaktivinoda Thakur emphasizes these are important in order to perfect your japa. And now we have a Tot Shandor from Switzerland, and he says, aside from listening to the holy name when I'm chanting japa, should I think about my posture? Will my posture help me to actually perfect my japa? No, your posture will not help you perfect your japa, but your posture may help keep you awake so that the holy name can help perfect your japa. Posture, yoga positions, all of these things are material things. Do not perfect transcendental things, especially the chanting of the holy name. However, if you sit with your knees, sit on your, or bend your knees, and in other words, if you kneel, sitting on your heels, that's a very good posture for staying awake. Or if you sit in a full lotus position, or even a half lotus position, then that type of posture will make sure that you stay awake, and if you're awake, then you can be attentive. Whereas if you sit in some type of position where the tendency is to go to sleep, then that will not be good for your japa. And he also asked something about breathing. Yes, you should breathe. If you don't breathe, you'll have problems in perfecting your japa, at least in this life. So, by all means, breathe when you're chanting Hare Krishna. But as far as coordinating your breathing and so on and getting into something which is like a yoga mishra bhakti, I never done anything like that. Prabhupada's never done it, never mentioned anything to us. Breathe in a way that... what can I say that that keeps you alive so that you can chant Hare Krishna? Then a Bhakta Rajiv says, what justifies daily consumption for a dairy consumption for Hare Krishna, even though they profess non-violence? And Rajiv, you give a string of questions here that I really can't understand. You're going to have to simplify it, work a little on the English, and I'm going to go on to another question because... too difficult to decipher. And Shekhar Khyatam says, the Bible said God created heaven and earth in 6 solar days, and man was created on the 6th day. That death and chaos entered the world after the fall of Adam, even so on. Bhagavatam describes creation differently, and the Holy Bible describes creation differently. So people ask why there's a difference in both holy books in the context of creation. The creation that you're citing here is really something very, very brief. The creation of Srimad Bhagavatam is extremely lengthy. It's questionable whether actually the creation that's being described in the Bible is actually the creation of the universe, the creation of the world, or whether it's some kind of creation by a demigod. It will correlate with Srimad Bhagavatam if you take it as some kind of lower order of creation, that it's neither Sarga or Visarga. But the important thing in terms of preaching to others is there a difference in the story of the creation? Perhaps there is, but what's the real essence of the Bible and what's the essence of Bhagavatam? The essence of Bible is to love God, and the essence of Bhagavatam is to love God. So the real question is not what's the story of creation, but what are you doing to love God? Chant God's names, follow God's orders. The Bible also says don't kill. Srimad Bhagavatam also says don't kill. Live a sattvic life. Get to know God and worship God. Look at those things that are common. Emphasize those things, and let's leave the things that are different apart, because there may be differences. There's differences in different versions of Srimad Bhagavatam for obvious reasons. So similarly, there may be differences in details, but in the essence, they're the same. And that's it for today, and we'll continue tomorrow. One last comment or question. I finally got my new telephone, in which I was expecting to get the many texts that came from devotees when they were wishing me happy appearance day, happy birthday. Those texts came as soon as Sundarupu was sort of reloading my telephone, and whatever you do to new telephones, they came. But when he loaded the program on, the program erased all of the texts. So I can't answer any of them. My apologies. He says there were a whole bunch that came down. Thank you very much. And next year, hopefully, my telephone crashing and birthday won't coincide. Hare Krishna.